Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, Creator and Sustainer of all things. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi anbiya'illahi, Sayyidil Mursaleen. And may Allah raise the rank of and grant peace to the chief of all of the messengers, the most noble of the prophets, our Prophet Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een, and likewise all of his family and companions in entirety. Amma ba'ad, as for what follows. On this afternoon of the 16th day of the month of Sha'ban in the year 1438, we return together here at Al Masjid Al Awwal in the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with our brothers locally and those via telelink with us in the state of Florida through the Tarbiyah Initiative of South Florida. وَفَّقَهُمْ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. May Allah Ta'ala grant them all success. We return together at this time to resume our weekly study of the book called Al-Usul Al-Thalatha, The Three Fundamental Principles, by Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab al-Tamimi rahimahullah ta'ala. May Allah have mercy on him. We've reached page 139 of the text, which is printed along with the explanation of al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. So reading from the text at the top of page 139, the text of al-Usul al-Thalatha, is فَلَمَّا اسْتَقَرَّ بِالْمَدِينَةِ. And then once he became established in Al-Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived and established himself in Al-Medina. أُمِرَ بِبَقِيَةِ شَرَائِعِ الْإِسْلَامِ. He was then ordered with the rest of all of the obligations of Al-Islam, the legislative rulings of Islam, meaning the fiqh rulings of Islam. Mithli, the likes of az-zakati, like zakat, the payment of zakat, was-sawmi, fasting, wal-hajji, the pilgrimage, wal-jihadi, military confrontations, wal-adhani, and calling the adhan, the announcement for prayer, wal-amri bil-ma'rufi, enjoining good, wal-nahyi anil-munkari, and forbidding evil, وَغَيْرِ ذَٰلِكَ, and other than that, مِنْ شَرَائِعِ الْإِسْلَامِ, from the legislated rulings in Islam. In explanation of this passage, the statement, Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, he states, يَقُولُ الْمُؤَلِّفُ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, the author, may Allah the Most High have mercy on him, states, لَمَّا اسْتَقَرَّ, once he established himself there or stayed there, أي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the meaning of him staying there is he is the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, في المدينة النبوية, in the prophetic city, أمير, he was ordered then, ببقية شرائع الإسلام, with the remaining legislative rulings in Islam, وذلك, and that was, أنه في مكة, دَعَى إِلَى التَّوْحِيدِ نَحْوَ عَشْرِ سِنِينَ. That was after he had been in Mecca calling to Tawheed for a period of 10 years. And here he means the 10 years after being made a messenger. And Allah Ta'ala knows best, or after being ordered to convey and warn. ثُمَّ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ فُرِضَتْ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَوَاتُ الْخَمْسُ فِي مَكَّةِ. Then after that, the 5 salat were made obligatory on him. And that was still in Mecca, in the Meccan period. ثُمَّ هَاجَرَ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ. Then he migrated to Al-Medina. وَلَمْ تُفْرَضْ عَلَيْهِ الزَّكَاتُ. And zakat had not been made a duty upon him. وَلَا الصِّيَامُ وَلَا الْحَجُّ. Nor was fasting or hajj. وَلَا غَيْرُهَا. Nor anything else. مِنْ شَعَائِرِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Of the open signs of Islam. وَظَاهِرُ كَلَامِ الْمُؤَلِّفِ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهِ. And what's apparent from the speech of the author here, may Allah have mercy on him, أَنَّ الزَّكَاةَ فُرِضَتْ أَصْلًا وَتَفْصِيلًا فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. That zakat was legislated, was made an obligation, originally and with all of its details in Al-Madina, meaning in the Madani period of history after the migration. وَذَهَبَ بَعْضُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ الزَّكَاةَ فُرِضَتْ أَوَّلًا فِي مَكَّةِ. Some of the scholars held the position that zakat was originally made an obligation in Mecca, in a general way. لَكِنَّهَا لَمْ تُقَدَّرْ أَنْصَابُهَا. However, its legislated minimum had not been decreed yet. وَلَمْ يُقَدَّرْ الْوَاجِبُ فِيهَا. Nor the obligations that had to be fulfilled regarding zakat. وَفِي الْمَدِينَةِ قُدِّرَتِ الْأَنْصِبَاءُ. And in Medina, the minimum levels required for one's wealth to reach and then zakat would be due, those things were legislated with their details in Medina. وَقُدِّرَ الْوَاجِبُ. And the obligation of it was made obligatory. وَاسْتَدَلَّ هَٰؤُلَاءِ بِأَنَّهُ جَاءَتْ آيَاتٌ. And those scholars who held that position, they used as a proof to say what they've said. Verses from the book of Allah, تُوْجِبُ الزَّكَاةَ فِي سُورَةٍ مَكِّيَّةٍ, that require, that obligate the payment of zakat in a surah that's Makkiyah, in a surah that is understood to have been revealed in the Meccan period of history before the hijra to Al-Madina. مثل قوله تعالى في سورة الأنعام, the likes of the statement of Allah the Most High in Surah Al-An'am, وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ, and give its right, meaning the right of the tilth, the harvest, on the day of its harvest. And that's when the zakat on the harvests, the grains and things like that, that's when they are due, they're due on the day of their harvest, not after a year like the other kinds of wealth. And that's from Surah Al-An'am, the 141st verse, which some scholars have identified as a Mekki verse, a verse revealed in Mecca or in the Meccan period of history. You guys remember the difference between Mekki and Medani? The Mekki verses and the Medani verses? What's a Mekki verse?
Ayat that were revealed while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam resided in Mecca.
And Medani then?
Medani were
while he resided in Medina. That's what seems to make sense. However, Abba Maryam, you know something else? You should have heard it in what I've been saying in this class, the distinction between a Meccan verse and a Medani verse. Well, let me bring it right to where we can identify it with a precise definition. One second. After Hijra, the Prophet ﷺ traveled much in expeditions. And verses came to him when he was traveling around. And so if you say the Medini verse is what was revealed to him when he was a resident in Medina, what do you call those verses?
After Hijra.
That's the point. All verses revealed before Hijra are called Makkiyah. All verses revealed after Hijra are called Madaniyah, with most of the scholars. Not necessarily if he was in Mecca or Medina. That's the point. Because he could travel in the Meccan period, and he could travel in the Medini period, and as we know, there would be no verses ascribed to those places that he would travel to, but rather they're either Mecki or Medini, and the distinguishing line is the Hijra. Whatever was before Hijra is considered Mecki, not because of him being in Mecca at the time of revelation, per se, but because of that being the Meccan period of history. And likewise, after Hijra is the Medini period of history, whether or not that verse came down in Medina. I'll give you an example right now, a very interesting example. A verse revealed in Mecca, and it's Medini. How does that even happen? A verse that was sent down upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was in Mecca, and it's a Medini verse. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. This day I have perfected your religion for you and completed my favor upon you. That verse. Umar ibn Khattab said, wallahi, I know when this verse was revealed, what day it was, where I was. He said it was revealed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Arafat, on Arafat, and it was a Friday. And that was during Hajj. That Hajj was much after the Hijra. So that's called a Medini verse, even though it was revealed in Mecca. Meaning it was revealed in the Medini period of history. That example right there helps you get the difference. Because now you have a verse revealed in Mecca, and it's not a Mecca verse. Allahu Akbar. So then the point here is that the generality of the Meccan verses were general admonitions, aqidah-based texts, calls for people to accept belief in the hereafter and reject the beliefs of their forefathers. Then the Madani stage was more legislation-based, how to fulfill the orders of Allah in a more specific way, obligations and duties that were more detailed and more specific, and as well addresses to the people of the book because of the neighboring Jews in Al-Madinah and so on. And Allahu Ta'ala knows best. وَمِثْلُ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. And it's also like the statement of Allah the Most High. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ. And those who have upon their wealth a well-known right, لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ, a right that is due, something that must be given to the beggar and the one who's deprived, meaning the poor people who need money. That's from Surah Al-Ma'arij, verses number 24 and 25. وَعَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ. In any case, فَاسْتِقْرَارُ الزَّكَاةِ وَالتَّقْدِيرُ أَنْصَابِهَا. Zakat being made an obligation, and the defining of the minimums that are set, and whoever has above that minimum must pay. وَمَا يَجِبُ فِيهَا. And what is to be paid for the different levels of ownership of whatever wealth has zakat due upon it. وَبَيَانُ مُسْتَحَقِيهَا. And the clarification of those who deserve that zakat, the recipients, the legitimate recipients of zakat, all of that, كَانَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. All of that was legislated in Al-Madinah, meaning in the Madani period of history. وَكَذَلِكَ الْأَذَانُ وَالْجُمُعَةُ. And likewise, the adhan, the call to the prayer, and the Jumu'ah prayer was legislated in the Madani era. وَظَاهِرُ أَنَّ الْجَمَاعَةَ كَذَلِكَ لَمْ تُفْرَضْ إِلَّا فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. And likewise, congregational salat was not made as a duty until the Madani period. لِأَنَّ الْأَذَانَ الَّذِي فِيهِ الدَّعْوَةُ لِلْجَمَاعَةِ فُرِضَ فِي السَّنَةِ الثَّانِيَةِ. And that's because the adhan that was the call, the adhan that is the call to congregational prayer, was only made as an obligation in the second year after Hijrah. فَأَمَّا زَكَاتُ وَالصِّيَامُ فَقَدْ فُرِضَ فِي السَّنَةِ الثَّانِيَةِ. And as for zakat and siyam, then both of those obligations were legislated or made obligatory in the second year, min al-hijrah, after hijrah. وَأَمَّا الْحَجُّ فَلَمْ يُفْرَضْ إِلَّا فِي السَّنَةِ التَّاسِعَةِ. As for hajj, it was not made an obligation until the year 9, عَلَى الْقَوْلِ الرَّاجِحِ مِنْ أَقْوَالِ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ, according to the most preferred position held by the people of knowledge. وَذَلِكَ حِينَ كَانَتْ مَكَّةُ بَلَدَ إِسْلَامٍ. And that's when Mecca became the land of the Muslims. بَعْدَ فَتْحِهَا فِي السَّنَةِ الثَّامِنَةِ مِنَ الْهِجْرَةِ. After it was conquered in the year 8 after Hijrah. وَكَذَلِكَ الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And similarly, the obligation of enjoining good. وَالنَّهْيُ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And forbidding evil. وَغَيْرُهُمَا مِنَ الشَّعَائِرِ الظَّاهِرَةِ. And other than those from the open signs of the manifestation of the religion, كُلُّهَا فُرِضَتْ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. All of them had been made obligations in the Madani period. بعد استقرار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيها. After the Prophet resided there or established himself there, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. وَإِقَامَةِ الدَّوْلَةِ الْإِسْلَامِيَةِ فِيهَا. And after the Islamic government was established there. Then we look at page number 140. And we read from the text of Al-Usul al-Talatha, that which is the statement of the author, أَخَذَ عَلَى هَذَا عَشْرَ سِنِينَ. And he took 10 years in doing that. 10 years in doing what? Clarifying the rulings on all of the legislated matters of Al-Islam. Completing the religion, essentially. Clarifying every matter that was needed. وَبَعْدَهَا تُوَفِّيَ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ. And after that, his soul was taken. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. Here our Shaykh says, رَحِمَهُ ta'ala, أَخَذَ. He took, أي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet took, عشر سنين, he took 10 years, بعد هجرته, 10 years doing this, upholding this, clarifying all of the details of what his mission was to clarify. فَلَمَّا أَكْمَلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ الدِّينِ. And then once Allah Ta'ala completed the deen through him, and through that effort, وأتم به النعمة على المؤمنين. And he completed the blessing that he gave upon the believers. اختاره الله لجواره واللحاق بالرفيق الأعلى من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. And Allah chose him to be with him and to take the companionship of the highest order, along with the prophets and the righteous and the martyrs. فابتدأ به المرض صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. And so his illness that he died from began. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. في آخر شهر صفر. In the last part of the month of Safar, the second month. وأول شهر ربيع الأول. In the beginning of the third month, ربيع الأول. فخرج إلى الناس عاصبا رأسه. He came out to the people, meaning after he had been ill for some time, and his head was wrapped in a towel, or some kind of wrapping, meaning because of the illness and the pain. فصعد المنبر, and he got up onto the minbar and he sat down. فتشهد. The narration of Bukhari mentions that he sat down. فتشهد. He declared Allah's oneness. وكان أول ما تكلم به بعد ذلك أن استغفر للشهداء. The first thing he said after that was that he sought forgiveness for the martyrs. الذين قتلوا في أحد. Those who died in Uhud began seeking forgiveness for them. Allahumma arham shuhada Uhud. May Allah have mercy on the martyrs of Uhud. ثم قال, and then he said, إن عبدا من عباد الله خيره الله بين الدنيا. And he said, one of Allah's servants, Allah has given him a choice between the dunya, بين الدنيا وبين ما عنده, between the dunya and what's with him. فاختار ما عند الله. And so he chose, that servant chose what is with Allah. ففهمها أبو بكر رضي الله عنه. Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, understood those words. فبكى, and he cried. وقال بأبي وأمي نفديك بأبائنا وأمهاتنا وأبنائنا وأنفسنا وأموالنا. He said, by my father and my mother, we'll ransom you off. We'll replace you. We'll replace your loss with our mothers, our fathers, with our children, with our own selves, and with all of our wealth. I mean, let us trade in everything we have to keep you. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, said, على رسلك يا أبو بكر. Relax, Abu Bakr. ثم قال إن أمن الناس علي في صحبته وماله أبو بكر. From the best of the people, the most kind of the people, those with the greatest favor over me, as it relates to his companionship and his wealth, is Abu Bakr. ولو كنت متخذا خليلا غير ربي. If I were to take a close friend, a devout ally, a single devout ally, other than my Lord, لَتَخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ, then I would certainly have taken Abu Bakr. وَلَكِنْ خُلَّةُ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمَوَدَّتُهُ. However, it is the friendship of Islam and its love, meaning that it's between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr. وَأَمَرَ أَبَا بَكْرٍ أَنْ يُصَلِّيَ بِالنَّاسِ. So he ordered Abu Bakr to pray with the people. This is when you've heard about Abu Bakr, and he couldn't lead the salah except that he would be crying, and the people couldn't hear his recitation. Now you sort of understand why. After this event, this is why Abu Bakr could barely be heard. Because he's leading the salah in the absence of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after hearing about the takhyir, after hearing about Allah giving him the choice to remain or to be taken by Allah, and he chose to be taken. So now he's leading the salah, and now you can understand why Abu Bakr would not be able to lead the salah with an audible voice. His most beloved companion and the Messenger of Allah is going to be taken soon, and he's only leading the salah because he's been made to lead the salah. And he would refuse. He didn't want to lead the salah, even in this situation. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would keep telling the women of his family, "Muru Abu Bakr falyusalli bin nas. Muru Abu Bakr falyusalli bin nas." Go get Abu Bakr and let him lead the people in salat. Go get Abu Bakr and let him lead the people in salat. Radiallahu anhu. ولما كان يوم الاثنين الثاني عشر والثالث عشر من شهر ربيع الأول. When it was a Monday, the 12th or the 13th of شهر ربيع الأول, the third month, من السنة الحادية عشرة of the year 11 من الهجرة, اختاره الله لجواره. الله تعالى chose him to be with Allah. فلما نزل به, then when death came to him, جعل يدخل يده في ماء, he would reach his hand down into the water عنده, that he had with him, ويمسح وجهه, and he would wipe his face, ويقول لا إله إلا الله. And he would say, none has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. إِنَّ لِلْمَوْتِ سَكَرَاتٍ. Say, death has its stupors. Death has its stages of drunkenness. ثُمَّ شَخَصَ بَصَرَهُ نَحْوَ السَّمَاءِ. Then his eyes looked up to the sky. وَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ فِرْفِيقًا أَعْلَى. He said, oh Allah, I request the highest company. تُوفِيَ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. And that's the day that he passed. فَطَرَبَ النَّاسُ لِذَلِكَ. So the people became in disarray. The people became all confused and the people became disorganized and in disarray because of that. وَحَقَّ لَهُمْ أَن يَضْطَرِبُوا. And what a right they had to be in disarray and to be confused and to be upset and lost. حتى جاء أبو بكر, until Abu Bakr came. And you know that from the greatest of the men of the Sahaba was Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And at that time he was saying that Muhammad has not died. He was in a state of denial that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had passed. And this is a man that if you say, who's the firmest of the men, the strongest of the men, you know, the one with the most strengths in difficult times, it would be Umar ibn Khattab, known for that, like a mountain. Yet during this trial, Allah Ta'ala showed us who was the most virtuous and the most rightful of all of the companions at the time of this loss, that he would be the leader of this ummah, and that was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The man that comparatively to Umar ibn Khattab was soft and gentle. When you compared Umar and Abu Bakr, you would see Abu Bakr as gentle and soft, not weak, but soft and easygoing and gentle. And Umar would be shadeed. Umar was harsh and stern, so much so that if he took one path, then the shaitan would take another path, fleeing from him, radiallahu anhu. So in this case, it was Umar saying, whoever said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has died is a hypocrite and I will strike him with my sword and these kinds of things, he was in denial. So only one man could silence him, as Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen says here. حتجاء أبو بكر رضي الله عنه فصعد المنبر. Until Abu Bakr came, may Allah have mercy on him, and he got up on the minbar. فحمد الله, he praised Allah. وأثنى عليه, and extolled him. ثم قال, and then he said, أما بعد. As for what follows, فإن من كان يعبد محمدا فإن محمدا قد مات. And he said, whoever worshipped Muhammad, then Muhammad has died. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. And whoever worships Allah, then Allah is alive and does not die. ثُمَّ قَرَأَ, and then he read, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرَّسُولُ. He read this verse, and Muhammad was but a messenger, and messengers before him have gone away. أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. If he dies or he is killed, are you going to turn back on your heels? That's from Surah to Ali Imran, the 144th verse. And he read, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Allah Ta'ala addressed his prophet and said, you are dead, meaning soon to be. وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. And they are all dead, meaning soon to be. Surah to Zumar, from Surah to Zumar, the 30th verse. فَاشْتَدَّ بُكَاءُ النَّاسِ. So the crying of the people became intense. وَعَرَفُوا أَنَّهُ قَدْ مَاتُ. They all knew at this time that certainly he has died. وعرفوا أنه قد مات فغسل صلوات الله وسلامه عليه في ثيابه تكريما له. Then he was washed, may Allah raise his rank and grant his peace, with his clothes on, in a way of honoring him. ثم كفن بثلاثة أثواب. Then he was wrapped in three sheets, three garments, three layers. أي لفائف بيض سحولية. Three very light garments, white wrappings. ليس فيها قميص. No shirt in them. ولا عمامة. And no headwear, no head wrap. وصلى الناس عليه إرسالا بدون إمام. So the people prayed upon him. صلاة الجنازة, meaning individually without a group and an imam, they all prayed upon him. ثم دفن ليلة الأربعاء بعد أن تمت مبايعة الخليفة من بعده. Then he was buried on the night preceding Wednesday after the Khalifa had been chosen and the pledge of allegiance had been given to him, and that is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu min ba'dihi, the Khalifa for him after his death. فَعَلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ أَفْضَلُ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَتَمُّ التَّسْلِيمِ. Upon him from Allah be the very best of peace and prayers. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah Ta'ala for what we have been able to come together and read this afternoon. When alhamdulillah, we ask Allah Ta'ala to raise the rank of Muhammad and to grant him peace. This kind of thing, this kind of evening, this kind of reading, these kind of moments that we've had this evening, they're important for the heart, that we reflect about the greatest loss that mankind has ever faced, and that we put things in relative context, the things that we face of loss and hardship, we put them in relative context to what it is like for us to have lost the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Moreover, what it was like for the companions to lose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The scholars refer to that event as al-musibatul uzma, the greatest trial, the greatest calamity, the loss of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. About it, our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said before it happened, إِذَا أُصِيبَ أَحَدُكُمْ بِمُصِيبَةٍ. If any of you faces a trial or a calamity comes down upon any one of you, فَلْيَذْكُرْ مُصِيبَتَهُ بِي. And let him reflect about his loss that is relative to me, meaning his loss of me. فَإِنَّهَا أَعْظَمُ الْمُصَائِبِ. Because it is the greatest of all losses. Meaning the loss of revelation, the loss of legislation, the loss of the admonitions of the Book of Allah coming down, the loss of this great man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That hadith was collected by Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, and it was studied along with others with similar wordings and additional chains by Shaykh Al-Albani in his book, Silsilatul Ahadith al-Sahiha, hadith number 1106. For your review. It is important for us that we think about his death and that we bring ourselves to tears regarding our loss. From the generality of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke of when he said alayhi salatu wasalam, لو تعلمون ما أعلموا. If you knew what I knew, meaning had you seen what I have seen and had the knowledge that I have, he has seen the paradise, he has seen the hellfire with his eyes. La bakaytum kathira wa la dhahiktum qalila. You would cry much and you would laugh very little. And the reason why we have difficulty in crying for the sake of Allah Ta'ala with tears that may be for us the source of salvation in the hereafter, and thoughts that come from the shaitan of hypocrisy and things like this, is because we are in an era of people who the very best of us, they laugh much and cry little. If you knew what I knew, then you would cry much and you would laugh very little. What about this era that we live in? The era of comedy shows, sarcasm, satire, every type of comedy. That's what people want to entertain themselves with, so they can stay laughing day and night, entertained, pacified and entertained. Then when the time comes to shed a tear, they find it very difficult because their hearts have become hardened with too much laughter, as comes in the report attributed to Isa ibn Maryam. إِيَّاكُمْ وَكَثْرَةُ الضَّحِكِ. Be warned about too much laughter. فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضَّحِكِ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ. Because too much laughter kills the heart. And if a person is known for excessive laughter and joking and playing, you find very little would he cry for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and he may even believe that those who cry for the sake of Allah Ta'ala are hypocritical or fake and things like this. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to grant us tears for his sake that are genuine. A tear that could be that a man remembers Allah Ta'ala in privacy, in secrecy, and sheds a tear like these tears today, and they are from the matters that allow a man to be in the shade of Allah Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So in these final moments before we establish the Salat, if there is a correction or a question or a comment that's brief and relevant and beneficial to today's discussion, we'll hear it at this time, inshaAllah Ta'ala. What was the verse? Let's read that verse again. I mean, it's an iqtibas from a verse. You know, that's what I mean by verse. It's language taken from a verse. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصَّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Of the prophets, of the devoutly truthful and believing, of the martyrs, and the righteous. The Siddiq is the one who, like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he is devout. He believes devoutly in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's genuine and honest in his interactions with Allah Ta'ala. And these are the people whom we ask to be amongst every time we pray. How's that? Ya Aba Mu'adh. We're asking to be amongst these four categories of people every time we make salah. Yeah. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. We're asking Allah for guidance to and stability upon a sirat al-mustaqim. What is a sirat al-mustaqim? Sirat al-ladina anamta alayhim. Where's the relative point here? We're asking to be guided to the way of the shuhada, the siddiqeen, the salihin, the anbiya. Where is it? وَمَنْ يُتَعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ. Whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Those shall be with the people whom Allah has bestowed His favor upon. Like in Surah Al-Fatiha, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The path of those upon whom you have bestowed your favor. Who are they specifically? In this verse number 69 of Surah Al-Nisa, مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Of who? مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Of the prophets. وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ. The devoutly believing and truthful. وَالشُّهَدَاء. And the martyrs. And وَالصَّالِحِينَ. And the righteous. وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And what a good kind of companionship are those. That's what you're asking for every time when you say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And that is an encouragement to obey Allah and the Messenger. وَمَنْ يُتَعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ. And whoever, this is whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger. No secret recipe. This is how you attain that status. Through obedience to Allah, devoutly and sincerely, inwardly and openly, secretly and in public. Obedience to Allah and the Messenger. عليه الصلاة والسلام. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما يحول بيننا وبين معاصيك. We ask Allah that He give us a portion of fear of Him that will come between us and disobedience of Him. وَمِنْ طَاعَتِكْ مَا تُبَلِّغُنَا بِهِ جَنَّتَكْ. And that He provide us with a portion of obedience of Him that He will enter us into paradise through. وَمِنَ الْيَقِينِ مَا تُهَوِّنُ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا مُصِيبَاتِ الدُّنْيَا. And that He provide us with a share of certainty that through that Allah Ta'ala will get us through the trials of this life. ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقوتنا ما أحييتنا. And extend for us our hearing, our faculties of hearing, seeing, and our strength as long as we are alive. وجعله الوارث منا. And make all of that that's preceded, make that the thing that is inherited from us and that we leave behind. وجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا. and place our revenge upon those who have oppressed us. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى مَنْ عَادَانَا. Give us victory over those who have had animosity for us. وَلَا تَجَعَلْ مُصِيبَتَنَا فِي دِينِنَا. Do not make our trial be of a religious nature, of misguidance and things like that. وَلَا تَجَعَلْ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا. And don't make the dunya the greatest of our concerns. وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا. Nor the extent of our knowledge. وَلَا تُسَلِّطْ عَلَيْنَا مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمُنَا. And do not allow those to take positions over us, positions of authority, those who do not have any mercy upon us. This dua our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to quite often make upon the end of a gathering. فَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلَّمْ وَبَارِكْ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَسْلِيمًا كَثِيرًا.